For some reason, the church printer will no longer print for me, and I don't know why, so I got it on my phone. But yeah, this month we're going to talk about generational blessings, and if you've been around here for any length of time, there we have spoken about generational curses in the past. And there are those also. We also have generational curses. And but the great part about that is that God, we have a God, we have Jesus that died for our sins. So he comes in and he can break those generational curses. And, you know, we have to do some work too. We can't just, you know, think, oh, well, I'm saved now. There's not going to be any more generational curses. I don't have to worry about it. It takes some effort to break those generational curses. But that's not what we're going to talk about today, because we're going to talk about generational blessings. And who in this room, I personally will think about everything bad somebody says about me before I'll think about what they said about me that was good, right? If somebody tells me 35 good things about me and then tells me one bad thing, what do you usually dwell on? The bad thing, right? It just sticks in there. And so we don't want to do that, right? Like, I think my mom preached about, you know, like, there are weeds out there in the yard, so many, and we get stuck looking at the weeds when we should really be focusing on there's beautiful flowers also. And we don't want to get stuck in the weeds. We want to remember that there's beautiful flowers. And it wouldn't be a Jenny sermon without the, what's the word for it again? I can never remember. Acrostic. Acrostic. So I do acrostics, and you guys have paper and pencils, so if you want to write it down, that is fine. So I did generations is my acrostic. Mindy, will you do me a ginormous favor? There's a stool that I threw in there that I want. Thank you. All right. And the Bible is just full of generational blessings, and of course they talk about the other one too, but we're not going to talk about that today. So generations. So my G is greatness in God. And my E is expectation. And next, because you know who's in the next generation? There was a generation before you. We're all in the next generation. And does God bless it more and more and more? Yes, he does. And God's generational blessings are for everyone, because he sent his son to die for us. And they're rare and real and relational. They're here to affirm and acknowledge us. We're in it together every day. And it's our insides and our inheritance for our insides. Our inside inheritance, the blessings on the inside. And like I said before, we have to take ownership of those blessings. We get to take ownership of those blessings, and the curses, well, we need to take ownership of those too and deal with them. And the blessings are for now. Right now we get our blessings. We don't have to wait. There's some blessings right now. And it's really simple, God's blessings for us. So in Deuteronomy 7:9-16, I don't like having this on my phone. It's bothersome, but here we are. I tried to print it like 5 times, but it did not work. So, and I'm reading out of the Message. And, you know, we sang that song, right? The Blessing. It's called The Blessing. So in Deuteronomy, it says, this is in the Message, so it's in kind of down-to-earth script. God wasn't attracted to you and didn't choose you because you were big and important. The fact is, there was almost nothing to you. He did it out of sheer love, keeping the promise he made to our ancestors. God stepped in and mightily bought you back out of that world of slavery, freed you from the iron grip of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, know this, God, your God, is God indeed, a God you can depend on. He keeps his covenant of loyal love with those who love him and observe his commandments for 1,000 generations. But he also pays back those who hate him, pays them the wages of death. So you don't want to mess around. He isn't slow to pay them off. Those who hate him, he pays right on time. So keep the command and the rules and regulations that I command you today. Do them, and this is what will happen. When you, on your part, will obey these directives, keeping and following them, God, on his part, will keep the covenant of loyal love that he made with your ancestors. He will love you. He will bless you. He will increase you. He will bless the babies from your womb and the harvest of grain, new wine and oil from your fields. He'll bless the calves from your herds and lambs from your flocks in the country he promised your ancestors that he'd give you. You'll be blessed beyond all other peoples. Goes on and on and on and on, but so what is the, what God's gonna bless us, but what did it say about the command, the major commandment that he wants us to live by? It says it here in the Old Testament, but it also says it in the New Testament. You can answer. Anyone? Thank you. Whew. Got a little nervous there. God blesses us, and he wants us to, and the reason why he blesses us is because we love one another, and he loved us so much. So the great part about that is that that's like the number one commandment, right? Because think about it. If you love people the way God wants us to love people, are you going to kill them or steal from them or, you know, the Ten Commandments, right? Those aren't just thrown out. But if we love each other, we're not going to do any of those things, right? I mean, so, you know, if we love God, we're not going to purposely do things that are wrong. So I just wanted to get some people to tell us what blessings you have that you feel like are a direct generational blessing from your family. You know, it doesn't have to be from your parents. Sometimes, occasionally, it might skip a generation. And it didn't really skip. It just kind of, you know, maybe that one generation didn't quite do the right thing all the way along. But here's the deal. What did it say? 1,000? 10,000? How many did it say? 1,000 generations? That's a long ways back, right? So you're sitting here today most likely because somebody in your generational line loved God, and that blessing is still coming with you today. And, you know, you might say, well, my mom and dad were terrible humans. Well, one blessing could be that they had you, and here you are today with all of us, right? So that's a blessing, right? Because we're looking at the flowers, right? Not the weeds. So who's got one? Anyone? Abby. Oh, Abby is blessed that she was adopted. Yes, she was. Amen to that one. That's a good one. Who else has got one? I have lots of them, but I just don't want to be a mic hog. Mindy, you got one? Yep, here she is. 29 years later. She hasn't gotten the whole lying thing down. Yeah. Brian, I know you come from a long line. Yes. I love that. Oh, yeah. Thousand generations or 100 years for you guys right now, but that's not 1,000 generations. It's going to keep happening, right? It is. And it's pretty sweet. So I personally grew up in the church. Who knew? But I know that my mom's mom got saved when how old were you when your mom got saved? In her 20s. But your grandmas, they loved the Lord. And maybe your great grandmas. And so, you know, my mom's mom waited a few years, but, you know, she got saved. Then my mom got saved. I think my mom got saved before her mother, but, and, you know, my parents, they came from a difficult backgrounds, but you know what? The generations before them that were saved, that loved God, that I'm sure prayed for them, they became good examples of generational blessings along the way. And my brother and I have also come with many, many blessings. I think a lot of times that I'm a little bit spoiled because I'm a lot spoiled, but I'm 47 and I still am a little spoiled. I'm the youngest, and I usually, if I ask for something from my parents, the answer is most usually yes. They did tell me no the other day, so I don't know. But here's the deal with that. A side note is that sometimes when we come from a generation or a family of Christians, sometimes we look to our parents as not gods in essence, but because they are the almost like God in our life, the provider in our life, the ones that we have to go to get the wisdom and stuff like that. And as much as that is a great thing, it can actually be detrimental to our growing in God and our, you know, we ask God for things and then instead of like waiting for God to give it to us, then we just go ask our parents. I might be guilty of that. So anyways, that's just a side note, okay? We don't want to idolize our family heritage, but we do know that God gave us our families and those generational blessings that will go down and down and down for 1,000 generations. And then who knows about Abraham? Anyone know about the guy Abraham? Anyone? Okay. So God told Abraham, leave your country, your family, and your father's home for a land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation and bless you. I'll make you famous. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. And those who curse you, I'll curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. And then it says, the angel of God spoke from heaven a second time to Abraham. I swear, God's sure word, because you have gone through, this is after his son Isaac, because you have gone through with this and have not refused to give me your son, your dear, dear son, I'll bless you. Oh, how I'll bless you. And I'll make sure that your children flourish like stars in the sky, like sand on the beaches, and your descendants will defeat their enemies. All nations on earth will find themselves blessed through your descendants because you obeyed me. So there you have it. I mean, I think we come down somewhere along the line. I don't know how many generations ago that was. But the best part of all of it is that Jesus actually did die on the cross and be raised again for us, for all of us to be generationally blessed because we have been adopted, right, into God's family. Just like Abby was adopted into a great family when she was little, we're all adopted into God's family. So, what is good? So, as people, we already talked about this, but we talked about how I don't always focus on the negative. But we need to flip it, right? We need to flip it from the negative to the positive, and we want to focus on the bad things in life. And a couple of years ago, I posted, I think, something on Facebook where I was said, for an entire day, only tell people what they do right. Has anybody ever tried that before? It is really hard. But think about the blessings, the generational blessings, the just blessing your community, your family, your friends. Think of what kind of blessings and what kind of impact that can make on somebody for an entire day. And then think of what if you just kept doing it for more than a day. What do you think would happen then? It certainly would change your perspective. And heck, I don't know. Maybe if it doesn't do anything good for the people around you, it might do something good for you, right? If I'm like, ugh, just hate my life. I'm fat and I don't have any money and my kids are mean to me. And, what's my attitude going to be like? Bad, right? What's that? What's that going to do? What's that going to do for my kids down the generations? they're sitting right there. All right. So what I want to do today is I want to go and I want us to practice. I'm all about practicing. I know. So I would like you to tell your neighbor three things, not like you look pretty today, blah, blah, blah. Like three real things that you think that they're doing that is great. Go ahead.